My God, my Father, my Savior, my Lord, I love you. I bless you. I magnify you. I adore you. I place none other before you. I place nothing else before you. God, I need you like never before. I need you at this time, at this very hour. God, I need you just to rest on us, rest on me, minister to me, minister through me like never before. Let your Holy Spirit manifest himself in my presence, manifest himself in my spirit, and manifest himself in everything that I do, say, and even think. God, let somebody be touched, let somebody be delivered, let somebody be set free, and let them know that they're able to do what God has called them to do, God. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In your matchless son's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Good morning, City Reach, Burlington, and the world. Thank you so much for joining with us. Thank you so much. I am so pleased and honored to be here. I'm so pleased and honored you decided to tune in with us and to spend some time with us as we continue on, or actually start a new series, a new thing that we're going to try out. I'm not sure how long we're going to do this for the next several weeks. Throughout the summer months, or the end of the summer months, or actually it's September now. Summer's just about over, and it's Labor Day right around the corner. Time to go back to work. Seems like we never left. But as we end up and wrap up this summertime, and this time of families, time of sharing with each other, we have recently also wrapped up or came to accumulation or celebrated the 57th year of the March on Washington for equal rights and equal opportunities for all people, for Black people, for all people, National March on Washington. And we also, as well, the 57th year of that celebration, one of the pioneers and one of the great speakers of that initial celebration, besides Martin Luther King, was John Lewis. He has just recently passed as well. And we want to honor him and as well, because he's paved the way for me to be where I am. He's paved the way, and Martin Luther King has paved the way for us to have the rights and to be able to vote and to be able to do things that we think for granted right now. We take for granted. We take for granted that we're able to walk next to somebody of another color on a sidewalk without having to look down or walk across the street. So we take these things for granted, or being able to vote and to be able to cast or make our voice heard. And we thank those people that pioneered and suffered for us and paid the price for us to be able to do what we do right now. Right now, also, there is the movie coming out, or a movie out right now, the biography of John Lewis, and it's called Good Trouble. And I heard about that movie, and I've read about it, and I thought about it. It's like one of his quotes that says, when you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, say something, do something, get in trouble, get in good trouble, necessary trouble. And I thought about that, man, it's like, he's hard rock. It's hardcore, because the way that they did it and the way they went about protesting for the rights to vote, for equal rights and for the right for fair housing, for fair jobs and for equal pay and for things that we take for granted right now, even may not have some of that. But the way they went about it did is not just a fighting on the streets with guns and swords like that, but it was a civil protest. It was a non-violent protest. It was a peaceful protest. Although their method was non-violent, it was never peaceful. And they were willing to fight. He was willing to stand up and take the beatings and take the brutal the beatings or the arrests by the police officers. He had many arrests. He had participated in many protests, but because he stood for something. And there's a saying, it's like a man that won't stand for something will fall for anything. So he was a man that stood for something, for equal rights, for all people, for the right for you and me to be where we are right now. And we thank him for that. And as I think about that, as I tie it on, it didn't just start there. It didn't just start with Martin Luther King. It didn't just start with John Lewis. It didn't start with Mahatma Gandhi. It started even way back in biblical times. And you can see that all over time, all over the Bible and all throughout life and all throughout history. If you even think about it, America started with the protest. So it's time for us. And so just to get the things that we need, to get the things, because they're protesting a tyrannical of the King George of English rule. And so they decided to stand and get in trouble, get in good trouble for something they stood for. So for something they fought for, something for justice, for something for what was right. So we need to do the same, because the struggle is never over until God comes back. So if we find something that we need to, that's not right, we find something that is not just, we find something that's not peaceful, just say something, do something. Don't just walk by, but get out there and get in trouble, get in good trouble. Amen? It's because if you think about it this way, even in the Bible times, there's many throughout the characters throughout the Bible. We're going to go through one right today. And if they could say, go back to the end of their time at the end of their day, and they could say, like Paul says, in Romans 8 and 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, which means that you're going to go through suffering. If you want to fight for something, you want to stand up for something, you have to suffer through it. It's not going to just be handed to you. Your rights are not just going to be given to you. He said, oh yeah, you know what? You're right. Here, you can have that. No, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to pay a price for that. But Paul says, it's not worthy to be, the suffering that I do right now is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us when we go back to God. Now, like I said, if you look back, John Lewis or Martin Luther King or those others that stood on the forefront, stood in the forebattle for equal rights for African Americans, didn't start there, even back to the biblical times. Let's go back to Daniel, and we go back, tell a story of three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure some of you may know that story. Some of you may remember that story. We're going to read through this and see what they did. They stood up and got in good trouble for the cause, for justice, good in trouble for standing up for what's right. Good trouble. They got in good trouble for standing for what God's told them to do. Okay, Daniel, the third chapter, starting with the 8th verse. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. Who does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at that time, you hear this. At that time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? He thought he was a bad man. Continuing on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, you have no need to answer. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, could you imagine that King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. He says, anybody that does, I made this image in my image, and I want everybody to, when they hear the sound of the harpy and the music playing, they're going to bow down and worship my image of me, worship me. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Hebrews. And they would say, you know what? We cannot do that because our God says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You should serve no other God but God, God alone. And they decided, you know what? Although it's legal to bow down and serve King Nebuchadnezzar, bow down and worship King Nebuchadnezzar, but it's not right. It's not just for me because what God says is better than what you say. What the law says, what the King Nebuchadnezzar says. So you know what? We're willing to get in good trouble because the consequence is we'll go into the fiery furnace and we get thrown into the fiery furnace. But if God and if God saves us, we know he can. But if he doesn't, we know he can't. But nevertheless, we're not going to bow down to your decree. Nevertheless, what you decreed is not what God declared. So nevertheless, we're not going to serve you. Nevertheless, we're not going to worship you like that because we only worship God. And if you look down further into the story, the king got so mad and upset that he put the fire hotter than before. And when he did that, the workers that made the fire hotter got extinguished in the fire and perished as well. And then he threw them into the fiery furnace. And then the next morning he came out there and he was so disturbed and worried because he's like, they called my bluff. I didn't think anybody would like not bow down and worship this image because I'm the king. But I guess they called my bluff. So he got down, he came down the next day. He's like, wait a minute. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we threw them in the fiery furnace and it was 7 times hotter than it was originally, but they're alive. They're walking around. And you know what? I see not just 3, but 4 people. And then the other one looks like the Son of God. So he called out to him and says, are you there? And he said, we are here. We are not harmed. And they came out of the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, unharmed, alive. The clothes were not singed and they didn't even smell like smoke. And I believe that their faith made them strong. Their faith in God that although they perish, although they might perish, that God might not bring them through. They knew that God could and that God will. And I declare and I decree that if you stand up for what God says is right, you won't look like what you went through. You won't come out smelling like the smoke. You might go through a fire. You might go through a storm. You might go through a tribulation or trials, but you won't go through. You won't end up like you went in. You're going to end up stronger. Your faith is going to make you stronger because you know what? Faith works and wisdom acts. So you can't test our faith by just saying or believing that God's going to work it out. You have to work out that faith. And when you work out that faith, and that's when your faith is tested and your faith is trusted and your faith is built on the word that God has said to you. And then you use the wisdom that God has given to you to know what to say and when to say it and to go what God has called you to do. And what we do is the end of the story is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they tested their faith. And they tested the rules that were put against them and the rules that were spoken over them and the decree that was declared over their life. And they said, you know what? We don't care about, we don't even need to answer you, Nebuchadnezzar, but because we serve a God that's greater than you. You might have conquered our country. You might have conquered our nation, but you haven't conquered our soul and you have never conquered. You will never conquer our God. And at the end of the day, because of their faith, that made them strong. King Nebuchadnezzar started worshiping God as well. And also because of that, they became famous. They became famous because we know about them, but it's even written in the what we call the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It lists all various characters throughout the Bible who had great and amazing faith. And their faith was tested and their faith was trialed, but they held fast. They held firm to what God has promised and to what God has said. And their faith stayed true because God stays true. If you look even into 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 32nd through the 34th verse, it says, and what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So, you may not be famous if you do what God's called you to do, but God will remember you. You may not receive the accolades that that you want to hear here down on earth, or the accolades or the thank yous from of the people that you're trying to help with, or the cause that you're trying to stand for. But God sees that, and God knows that, and God will remember everything that you've done in his name. And if you think about it, here's what God wants us to do. If you look, so what is it that you want me to do? What is my purpose? What is my plan? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to see? God says, I'll make it plain for you. Just love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you look at Micah, the 6th chapter and 8th verse, it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Those three things. To do justly. Do what's just. Do what's right in God's eye. To love mercy. Don't kill. Have mercy, because God has mercy on you. And who are you to judge? Who are you to condemn? Because God has not condemned you, you should not condemn others. And to walk humbly with your God. Because we know that in all things, God has given us strength and ability to do the things that we're called to do. It's not in our own strength. It's not in your own strength. It's not in your own knowledge or my own knowledge, but it's in the knowledge and the wisdom of God that God has given you. Amen. And so you want to do what's just. You want to do what's right. And you want to justice in all areas, and seek justice in all situations. If anything that comes against that justice, speak out. Say something. Do something. And here's the thing, the moment you realize that justice involves more than just us, is the moment you start to realize the purpose that God has for your life. I'll say that again. The moment you realize that justice involves more than just us, it's not selfish. And it's the moment you start to realize the purpose that God has for your life. It's one thing to leave your children an inheritance, which is something that monetarily or homes or things like that you can leave down to those loved ones that are follow on along your way, like your children or your spouse or things like that. But it's another to leave a legacy. A legacy is something you can leave to everybody that you've come across and every person that you might have met throughout your time of your life. And it's that memory. It's that the inheritance is what you have done. And what you have and things like that, like your money, your cars, your home, that's inheritance. And that can you leave to your children, that's immediate family. And that can be subject to taxes. That can be subject to it dwindling in value or being stolen and being taken away by a fire or flood or being stolen. But you can't steal a legacy. Because the legacy is your memories. The legacy is the lessons that you've taught, the lesson that you've learned, the legacies that you taught to other people that you came across. Our inheritance are what we have. And our legacy is who we are. So once we realize that, it's more than about me being just living on my earth for me. And it's what about what's good for me, what's in it for me. But I'm here because we are relational beings. We are here to work for each other and to help each other because we're stronger together. And once you realize that justice is not just about me, what's right for me, what's good for me, make me feel good, but what's right for us. Justice is about us, not just me, but just us. And then once we come together, we come stronger together. And that's when you start to walk out your purpose. That's when you start to walk out the plan that God has for your life, because you're not down here for a reason. You're not down here just for yourself. You're here to work out a purpose. You're here to work out a plan that God has for each and every one of us. Amen. And then once we come to the end, it's like, we can say like what Martin Luther King said at that speech on Washington, And he talked about, you know, I have a dream. And he ended off, he says, but let justice run down like water and righteous like a mighty stream. Let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. So justice starts from the top, from God down. And once it rains down, it washes over all of us and it just keeps flooding down. It keeps going down. And before you know it, we're flooded with justice. Before you know it, we're drenched in justice and we're drenched in righteousness, of God's righteousness, God's justice and God's freedom. It's going to be like a mighty stream that we can swim, that we can partake in, that we can drink, that we can refresh ourselves in, that we can be replenished by. But God's mighty justice and God's mighty righteousness, like a mighty stream. And here's the thing. If we pattern ourselves after what God has want for us, God loves for us, God desires for us, we'll be able to walk out our plan. We'll be able to walk out your path. And sometimes, like I said before, it's not going to be easy. Just because you're saved and God loves you, and you know that God loves you, and you know that you have a place, a plan for your life, and you know that once you leave this earth that God has a place for you to live with him, to reign with him, it doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. Matter of fact, it's not going to be easy. So if we got to fight, let's fight for the right things. If we got to get in trouble, let's get in trouble for the right things. Get in trouble for what's right. Get in trouble for what's God has calls for us, what God has placed for us to do. If you see something that's wrong, say something. Don't ignore it. We're here together. We're here to love each other. He'll pick up your brother and your sister so they may be able to grow and grow with all of us. So we all grow together. And the perfect example of that is Jesus. He didn't come down here just. He came down. He was sent down on a mission to save, to heal, to deliver, to work miracles, to set free, the sights of the eyes of the blind, to open up the deaf ears, to raise the dead, and to teach those that were around him, and to make disciples over all of us, and just make disciples over the world. Most of all, he came here to die as our sin debt, a debt that we can never repay. He paid the price for us. He came down and he got in good trouble for me. He got in good trouble for you. And we're patterned to live our lives after Christ. And when God came, when Jesus came down, when he got in good trouble for me and for you, when he went on that cross and he died on that cross for my sins and for yours. He got in good trouble, trouble that we didn't even do. He knew no sin. He wasn't even guilty, but he took that sin. He got in that good trouble for you and for me. And all we need to do is accept him into our hearts, into our lives. That's why he came. That's the trouble he came. He came in and got in trouble for me. He saw you in mind when he came down. He had you in his heart and loved you so much that he gave his life freely for you and for me. And all we need to do is accept him into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls. I call it the ABCs of salvation. It's pretty simple. God wants us to love him so much that he sent his son down for us to die for our sins, not to condemn us, but to bring us back to rightness and oneness in him. John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And here we have the ABCs of salvation. A, acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And C, confess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's it. That's why Christ came, to die for you and for me. He got in that good trouble for me, so that we be able to live freely, so we be able to be in sweet communion with God. We may be able to reconcile our lives and go back to, and live with God whenever we leave this earth, or even while we're on this earth. We know that we are in right standing with God, because Jesus got in good trouble for me and for you. And if you can, just close your eyes and let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Our kind Father, I pray over everyone that's heard this message, heard this word, God. I hope that it pricks their heart, Father God, and allows them to know that Christ died for us. He got in good trouble for you and for me. So those that prayed this prayer, God, I ask you just to save them, get inside their hearts, get inside their souls and their minds, make them clean, make them new, make them the people that you called them to be. Let them know that you have a plan and you have a purpose for everybody that heard this message and heard this word. God, we love you, we bless you, and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Listen, those of you who have prayed this prayer with us or looking for a church home or somebody to believe with, or somebody to walk out life with, and somebody to get closer together with God, we have a plan for you. God has a plan for you. I have a heart for you. I want to hear from you. I need you to text the word ALL IN, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word ALL IN, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Thank you for joining with us. I love you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Born in Troy, Alabama, to Eddie and Willa May, sharecroppers working in the heat of the day. Yes, they were.
He knew there was much more, so he asked the Lord to show.
Yes, he did.
All he achieved. Civil and voting rights. No matter the problems he faced, he kept his eyes on the prize.
And then he learned to walk by faith and believe God until the end. Yes, he did.
Oh, yes.
And knew we would overcome that. And Lord,
Yeah.